Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It is a pleasure to be here in the presence of the Lord, and there's just nothing like being in the presence of the Lord. And I give God thanks for this privilege, and very humbled to be the one chosen to bring the word of the Lord tonight to you. There's nothing special that I bring, but I totally rely on the Lord to give me that he has to deliver to his people. I want to greet our pastor, assistant pastor, and elders and ministers and all of you God's people. I greet you in the name that is above every name. That is the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Just bow your head with me right where you are. Eternal God, my Savior, my King. Lord, I thank you for this day that you have given unto us. I am nothing, but you are everything. And that is why I totally depend on you right now. I pray, God, that you will speak through me as I deliver the words of the Lord, that which you have given unto me. Take control of my mind. Take control of my thoughts. Hallelujah. And let your word go forth with power. Your word is already anointed. So I depend on you, Lord. Let your people be blessed and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Just want to turn, for you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start reading at verse 6. I'm going to read a few verses, and then we're going to jump over to Galatians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. I'll read in your hearing. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. And this is Paul speaking. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Galatians 4, I'm going to read verse 12 through to 14. Paul speaking to the Galatians. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. He have not injured me at all. He know how much through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, he despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you on the topic taken from the scripture, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. His grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for thee. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord, as I sought the Lord for this word, He has led me to minister to you about something that some of us as Christians, we struggle with, even the best of us. It is a challenge that we face from time to time. The challenge of trusting God when our faith is on trial. Sometimes when our faith is challenged, it makes us feel very helpless. Sometimes it makes us feel spiritually weak. Sometimes it makes us feel as if we have lost favor with God. And sometimes when we pray and God doesn't answer us in the time that we had desired, the enemy sometimes will cause us to feel as if God is punishing us for some past sins that we have committed. Sometimes the enemy will make us feel as if it's the judgment of God upon our lives. And sometimes when we're going through very serious trial, and I'm not referring to very light affliction, there are times when people will dare to ask us, especially when it is made public, when it is known to others what we're going through. Some persons will dare to ask us, what did we do wrong? Which sin did we commit? Just like the disciples when they saw the blind man. And they asked Jesus, who sinned? Is it this young man who sinned or his parents? Sometimes that's how persons will make us feel when God is putting us through a serious trial. And I submit to you that there are many great books that have been written about faith. We have heard many sermons that have been preached on faith. And some of us, we know what it means to have faith in God. We know what it means to have confidence in God. We have personal experiences, and with some of us, we have testimonies about what faith in God can accomplish. We don't even have to refer to the scriptures. We know by our own experiences what faith in God can do. We know that faith can unlock many closed doors. Faith can make what is seems impossible possible. Faith in God can bring that which seems dead back to life. Faith can lead God to performing miracles and amazing things in the life of a believer. The Bible says that if we have faith of a size of a mustard seed, you shall say to the mountain, be thou removed, and it shall be done. And so the life of a child of God is based on the principle of having faith in God. Because the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But brothers and sisters, I submit to you that as much as we have faith in God, as much as we have confidence that God can do anything that we ask of him, there will come a time in the life of a believer when we pray earnestly to God and we seek God to perform something in our lives that we consider to be urgent, something that we are in need of, something that we require of God, to where we need for God to answer us now. We need a now miracle. We need a now blessing. We need God to heal us right now. And God simply tells us to wait. Or God will sometimes tell us no. And I want to speak to you on the latter, where God tells us no. Where God will not give us that which we ask for. The thing that we think we should have, the thing that we think that we are in need of, God simply turns down our request. And as much as we become desperate at times, hallelujah, there may come a time when God will say no to your request. It is not that you lack faith. It is not that you have displeased God. It is not the hand, God's hand of judgment upon your life. It is simply that God is sovereign. The sovereign God is at work in your life. Where his ways are not our ways. Where his thoughts are not our thoughts. A matter of fact, we have been walking uprightly before God. And we have the favor of God, but in spite of our righteousness, hallelujah, there may just come a time when God will not grant us that which we desire. Hallelujah. And my mind goes back to my own personal experience. Over 11 years ago, when my wife was pregnant with our first child, and she went to the doctor to do the last ultrasound before she would have given birth. When the doctor did the ultrasound, there was no life in the womb. The child was dead in the womb. But for some reason, I believed that God was going to perform something miraculous. I believed in my heart that this was just a setup for a miracle. I believed in my heart that the following day when she was to deliver that child, what they thought would have been a dead child,
I believed in my heart that by the time she delivers, there would have been a life in that child. That was my prayer. And I had total confidence. No one could have told me otherwise that this was not going to be so. Hallelujah. And as we were in that room, my wife was delivering. And I was pleading with God for a miracle. I was pleading with God to do the impossible. I still had faith. My hope was at a high level. I still believed that God would have granted me my request, our request. But there came a time as I was pleading with God right by the bedside while she was in pain delivering, that the Spirit said to me, no. The Lord said to me right in that delivery room, right in that hospital room, He said, no. But then He said, I am in control. I am with you. And suddenly, as I heard that word, those words in my spirit, my confidence was shattered. The high hopes that I had quickly turned into mourning. Hallelujah. My wife delivered a lifeless child because God said no. I thank God for our pastor, my pastor, was right there with us in that hospital room. Sister Maria, she was right there with us, and they never left us as we went through this trial. I give God thanks for them. I know this is not a message that will tickle your ear, and perhaps you would prefer to be hearing something else. But as I sought the Lord for this word that God spoke to me over 11 years ago, and I made a note of it, when God says no. And over the years, as God spoke to me, I would make little notes, and God would lead me to some scriptures. God led me to this particular scripture. And when I was asked to minister this word, for these past 11 years, I was never led to minister this word. But for some reason, as I sought the Lord, this word came forcibly to me. The truth is, we have been told many times that we just need to name it and claim it. And we have been told that if we speak the word of faith, that we will receive the answer. We have been told that we can just praise our way to a miracle, and that we will receive that which we desire in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's true, but I want to say to you, and I want to ask you the question, what do we do when we do all? When we pray earnestly to God, and we don't get the answer that we desire, what do we do? When we have faith in God and God chooses not to give us what we think we need, what do we do when we earnestly and desperately ask God to perform something specific and God doesn't do it? What do we do when God says no? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But even when the answer, when God does not answer us in a way that is to our liking, I submit to you that there is purpose in everything that God does. Here we read about Paul, a great apostle. Paul, the one who received his education at the school of Gamaliel, who was one of the great rabbi teachers of the time, well versed in the law. And so after Paul, after his conversion to accepting the Lord, after he had persecuted the church, after he was converted, Paul was considered to be one of the greatest missionaries. He started many churches. He spread the gospel all over Rome and Damascus and Syria. Paul wrote many letters to encourage the saints. Many souls received salvation under Paul's ministry. Many were converted. Many were restored. Paul performed many miracles. He cast out many demons. The Bible says that at one point, God wrought special miracles by the hand of Paul to the point where he would touch the handkerchief and apron and they would just carry them to the body, to those who were sick, and they would receive healing. They would touch the handkerchief that Paul had touched to those who were diseased, and they would receive healing. Paul was a man of great faith. And at one point, the Bible says that Paul, while he was preaching, that a young man fell asleep and he fell through the window. And he died. And the Bible says that Paul embraced him and brought him back to life. That's the power that Paul had. God used Paul to perform great, great miracles. But in spite of Paul's faith, in spite of the great exploits that he did for God, in spite of the miracles that he performed, there was something in Paul's life that was overwhelming him. There was something that was very troubling to Paul. And it took a hold on him. And it seems as if Paul could not live any longer with it. And it seems as if Paul struggled to perform the work of God because of this one thing. It was not something that was troubling Paul that was on and off. It wasn't something that just popped up every now and then. This was something that seemed to be humiliating, to have humiliated Paul from time to time. It was weighing him down. And it seems from the scriptures that it's something that he could not hide. It was something that people could see. Something that was buffeting him. He could not cover it up. Paul called it a thorn in his flesh. And to this day, many Bible scholars have been wondering, what was that one thing that was bothering Paul to the extent that he called it a thorn in his flesh? And the Bible did not say what it is. And many people have given, many scholars have given their opinion on what this thorn was. Some say it was blindness. Some say it was epilepsy. Some people say it was people were continually performing witchcraft and doing all sorts of evil in an attempt to bring down Paul's ministry. But whatever it was something that was painful. It was humiliating. Whatever it was, I believe that God had so ordained it that whatever was the thorn in Paul's flesh, God had so ordained it that it was not revealed so that you and I can relate to Paul's experience by filling in the blank as to something in our lives that we consider a thorn in our flesh. I believe that some of us, that God has allowed something to take place in our lives that is like a thorn in our flesh, something that is buffeting us, something that is beating upon us, something that seems to be overwhelming us. It is not a sin that you can't get rid of. It is not something wrong that you did that has caused a thorn in your flesh. But it is something that keeps you grounded. It is something that God seemed to have allowed to take place in your life. That like Paul, it keeps you from exalting yourself above measure. It keeps you from becoming proud. It keeps you from looking down on others. It humbles you. Hallelujah. God has a way of keeping his children humble by allowing for there to be a thorn in our flesh. I don't care how gifted and how talented or how anointed we are. You may be a respected man or woman of faith, but God has a way of just leveling us off. And regardless of the exploits that you have done for God, regardless of your strong faith, regardless of how much you have preached and we have taught and we have sung and we have exalted and we have evangelized, regardless of who we are in the kingdom, regardless of how people look up to us, regardless of our accomplishments, God has a way of bringing us down to humility. And things may be going very well in many areas of your life, but there may be just one era in your life that seems imperfect. We may be strong in many areas of our lives, but there may just be another era in your life where there is a weakness. It's a weakness that keeps you on your knees. It's a weakness that causes you to stay at the foot of the cross. I submit to you that you may not lack nothing in many eras of your life, but there might be just one era in your life where there seems to be a need where every time you pray, it comes up before you. Every time, hallelujah, you seek God, it's right there before you. This thing has become like a thorn in your flesh, where it beats upon you every day, almost every day. Where it comes up before you, even when you're not even thinking of it. It just doesn't go away. Doesn't matter how much you pray. Doesn't matter how much you pray for it to go away. Doesn't matter how much you fast and earnestly pray to God. And you call for folks to pray with you and to pray for you about this one situation. But for some reason, it remains in your life. And you wonder what it's going to take for God to remove it. It is the thorn in your flesh. It is that thing that God has placed in your life. What do you do when you pray the prayer of faith? Hallelujah. And God simply says no. What do you do when you think that you have believed God for something that you think it's in the will of God to grant it to you? When you think that you're not praying amiss, yet God doesn't grant you the desire of your heart. What do you do when you pray the prayer of faith for a close relative, but God allows them to die? What do you do when you struggle with your health? You pray and you ask God for healing, but for some reason it never goes away. You've brought up your children in the fear of God, but they still fail to accept God. They still backslide. What do you do when it becomes like a thorn in your flesh? What do you do when God has blessed you with beautiful children, and but no matter how much or best you try, their behavior seems to be getting worse by the day? What do you do when you work long and hard, but you just can't seem to get over your financial struggles? You plead to God for a stable job. You ask God to give you a job that you desire, but you keep bouncing from job to job. You pray, but you can't seem to get rid of the problems on your job, with your boss, with your co-workers. You have done all you can to mend a relationship with someone. You have done your part, but it doesn't get better. You have tried to maintain a good relationship with your in-laws, but the relationship is still not up to par. What do you do every time you've gotten over one trial? But as soon as you think that you've gotten the victory over one, here comes another. What do you do when you think that you've passed the test? But then here comes another test. Brothers and sisters, I cannot exhaust what this thorn in your flesh may be. But I'm talking to somebody tonight who feels overwhelmed. You feel that the problem is drowning you. Sometimes you feel humiliated. It's getting on top of your last nerve. And you believe that if God takes away this thorn, you will be a better person. You will become a better Christian. You will become a better father, a better mother, a better husband, a better wife. You believe that if God takes away this problem, you will be able to give more to the service of God. You will be able to serve God better. You think that if God removes this thorn in your flesh, that you will be respected more. That people will have a better impression of you. Somebody tonight, and I believe that God has given me this word to preach to somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody has a thorn. You've got a thorn in your flesh and you've been praying for God to fix it, to remove it. But even with all your good desires, God says no. God says, I've placed it there for a specific purpose. Paul was not praying about something small. Paul did not talk to God about being stoned or being beaten or being imprisoned. Paul did not even pray about being shipwrecked or being bitten. But whatever God had put in his life, he could not talk it away. He could not preach it away. Nowhere else in the Bible it is mentioned where Paul had prayed 3 times about a matter. Nowhere else it is mentioned that Paul sought God for something that was taking place in his life, for it to depart from him. And God did not answer. Here is a man who did all these great exploits for God, but he could not deal with the thorn in his flesh. He could not pray a prayer that would allow God to remove this thorn from his flesh. Hallelujah. 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 Have you ever wondered how can it be that sometimes we pray, we are asked to pray for the sick, and when we pray, they receive their healing. But then when we are sick ourselves, when we ask God, or there is something in our life that is like a thorn in our flesh, it doesn't matter how much we pray, it doesn't matter how much we fast. We've prayed for others and we have seen the results. We've fasted with others and they've received their deliverance. But when it comes unto us for some reason, we have pleaded with God to get over this one thing and we can't seem to get an answer from God. We can't seem to get God's attention. I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that if it happened to Paul, it can happen to you. If God can say no to Paul, he will say no to you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your exploits in the ministry. There will come a time in our spiritual walk where God is going to place a thorn in our flesh so that he will accomplish his purpose in our lives. So that his will be accomplished in our lives. There are some things that God will allow to remain with us, that he will allow to cause us pain, that he will allow to cause us some suffering. Sometimes it will feel like a burden. Sometimes we will feel overwhelmed. But as hard as it seems, it is God's purpose being fulfilled in your life. It is the will of God being born out in your life. Because at the end of the day, it is not our will that will be done, but it is God's will that will be accomplished, that will be done in our lives. And that's why a relationship with God is so important. That's why we've got to live close to God. Because when we have a relationship with God, we're going to pray his mind. And our will be aligned with his will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word that I want to tell somebody tonight is that the thorn in your flesh, the thing that you think is overwhelming you, that's causing you so much pain, it's for the will of God to be done. And God will not remove it until his will is accomplished in your life. I would love to tell you that God told me to tell you that he's going to grant you that which you've been praying for and that which you've been praying about. I would love to tell you tonight that it will not be long from now that you're going to receive your healing and your deliverance. That God is going to remove the thorn in your flesh. I would love to tell you the thing that you've been praying about for God to remove from your life. That he's in short order, he's going to do it. But my brothers and sisters, that's not the word that God gave to me tonight. God has told me to tell you tonight that he has kept the thorn in your flesh so that he can keep you close to him, so that you can remain grounded in your Christian walk, so that you will remain on your knees. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has placed the thorn in your flesh so that you will keep holding onto the altar. God has placed that thorn in your flesh so that he can keep you humble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I love you. I care for you. You're precious to me. But I'm going to use the thorn to be your teacher. I'm going to use a thorn to keep you from sinning against me. I'm going to use this thorn so that you don't get ahead of yourself. I'm going to use that thorn to keep you until the end. The thorn in your flesh is what is going to cause you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. And so we need to stop blaming people for the thorn in our flesh. Stop blaming the devil. It's God's doing. It's God's doing. I know it doesn't feel good. You feel overwhelmed. But it's God's doing, so that his purpose will be accomplished. So that he can keep you grounded. The Bible says that after Paul had prayed and nothing happened, the thorn in his flesh remained. Paul said, the Lord said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for you. That's the word of God tonight to you. That man, that woman, that thorn in your flesh, God is saying to you, my grace is sufficient for you. God is saying to you, I would not have given you this problem unless I had enough grace to bring you through it. I don't care how much you pray for me to remove it. I will not remove it. Because I want for you to prove my grace. Hallelujah. I want to let somebody know that God has given you sufficient grace for your problem. God has given you enough grace for your situation. God has given you enough grace to handle your struggles. God has given you enough grace for your trial. God has given you enough grace to deal with the pain and the suffering in your life. God has given you enough grace to deal with the thorn in your flesh. Hallelujah. 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 The death of a loved one, God says, my grace is sufficient. I've given you enough grace for this. Family problems, God says, I've given you enough grace. Problem with your children, God says, I've given you enough grace. God, you have lost your job, God says, I've given you enough grace. Health problems, God says, I've given you enough grace. Whatever your issue is, whatever the thorn is in your flesh right now, whatever the problem you're facing that is causing you frustration, and sometimes it causes you to feel angry, God says, I've given you enough grace. I have enough grace to handle anything that you're going through, anything that you're dealing with right now. My grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient to keep you, my brothers and sisters, through every test, through every storm, through every battle. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And sometimes God will not allow the enemy to send, a matter of fact, God will not allow the enemy to send anything. He will not allow for anything to come upon you that is greater than his grace. God will not place a thorn in your flesh which is greater than the anointing that he has given to you, that is greater than the power, that is greater than the grace that he has given you. Whatever you're going through, God's grace is sufficient for you. The songwriter says, his grace is enough for me. Through sorrow or pain, through loss or gain, God's grace is enough for me. The Bible says that there is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God is saying to somebody tonight, when you pass it through the waters, I'm going to be with you. And through the rivers, it shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not kindle upon thee. The Lord is going to renew your strength, so that you can deal with the thorn in your flesh. You shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. Paul says, my strength was made perfect in weakness. Therefore will I glory in my infirmity. Note, he says, I will glory in my infirmity. Some people will get joy when they come out of their tribulation. Some will rejoice when they come out on the other side. But here was Paul saying that I will glory while I'm going through my tribulation. How did Paul get from the stage of desperately praying three times to God for God to remove the thorn in his flesh, and being told no, to having glory in his infirmity? That's what grace does. It brings you to a place in God where you will be joyful in your tribulation. How do you know when your worship is for real? When you're going through a fiery trial, when you're going through a storm, when the battle is hot, but it doesn't stop your praise, that it doesn't stop your worship. That's real praise. That's real worship. When you feel overwhelmed about a situation in your life, when you feel like you're being weighed down, but you still have confidence in the God of your salvation. God has given his children grace for every trial, every test, every tribulation in your life. But all we need to do is just to trust him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We just have to trust God when we're dealing with the thorn in our flesh. Hallelujah. When God says no, when God says I will not remove it, we've still got to have our confidence in God. We still got to trust God. When we can't find him, when we can't trace him, we've still got to trust God. When God remains silent to our prayer, when God is saying nothing to us, we still got to trust him. When the thorn in our flesh is not going away, when your tears, like David, has become like your meat day and night. When people will ask, where is your God? When sometimes you're tempted to ask the same question. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. I don't know when the morning will come, my brothers and sisters, but I'm going to trust God until my change comes. Hallelujah. I'm going to trust God anyway. Hallelujah. Even when I feel burdened down, when I'm dealing with the thorn in my flesh. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody, you're questioning God. You're asking God why. Something in your past, something that's happening to you now, and it's like a thorn in your flesh, and you can't seem to get rid of it. You can't pray it away. You've been praying a long time. You've been fasting a long time. But God says, I have placed it there to keep you saved. I've placed the thorn in your flesh to keep you humble. Out of your situation. Out of this thorn that's in your flesh. God will be glorified. And even with the thorn in your flesh, God is going to give you more anointing, more power, more blessing, more grace, more fight, more tenacity, more wisdom. Hallelujah. There is no record in the Bible where God removed the thorn in Paul's flesh. But near the end of Paul's life, in spite of the thorn that was in his flesh, in spite of the thorn that remained with him, Paul says, I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The thorn in your flesh, God has placed it there so that you can know, that you will understand the grace of God, so that you can remain humble until the Lord calls us home, so that you can remain grounded, so that you can stay close to him. The thorn in your flesh, it is there, for God to accomplish his purpose in your life. And so the songwriter says, and this is a prayer that when we're dealing with the thorn in our flesh, we've got to sing it sometimes, and we've got to believe it. And we've got to understand that the will of God is best. God knows what's best for us. Thy will be done. Oh, teach me from while you're dealing with the thorn in your flesh. Oh, teach me. Oh, teach me, Lord, from my heart to say, thy will be done. God's grace is sufficient for me, for you, through sorrow or pain, through loss or gain. God's grace is enough to deal with the thorn in your flesh. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. As you continue to trust the God of your salvation. God bless you. In Jesus' name.